This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. This year marks what would have been the 100th birthday of jazz pianist Thelonious Monk. Born in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, rose to fame in New York City, known for his distinct flat finger technique, eccentric personality, and pioneering musical vision. In celebration of his life, Duke Performances is putting on a 10-day showcase called Monk at 100. It features modern jazz legends who will honor Monk's inventive and groundbreaking talent through performing his compositions. And joining us today, three jazz musicians who are participating at Monk at 100. At this festival, we've got saxophonist J.D. Allen. J.D., welcome to State of Things. Good to have you.
Hey, well, nice to be had.
Also with us, pianist Chris Davis. Hello, Chris.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. And pianist and music critic Ethan Iverson. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
It's going well. Give us a little of the background. Tell us about the life of Thelonious Monk. No, he didn't spend too much time here in North Carolina, but was born here.
I think he spent about 4 years here, and then his family moved to Harlem. And he had conventional piano training, like the European classical tradition, and he had a lot of gospel music training and even toured with a group in high school. He actually dropped out of high school to tour with a religious music group. And then he was at a club called Minton's in Harlem for the dawn of the new music bebop. And he was a primary architect of that music, especially harmonically. One of the pieces he came up with was called Epistrophe, and that was played a lot at Minton's in 1940-41 and recorded in 1942. And it's very advanced, nothing like the swing era jazz. And this is before Charlie Parker came to town.
Well, it's a dynamic era. I want you to talk more about this, but you talk about the rise of bebop. What's happening here? It's a kind of revolution in music, and I want to get a sense of to what extent Monk is influenced by and then influences the music itself.
Well, he helped create it. You know, he's like a founding father of bebop, but I think most historians would say that in the swing era, this was black music that was sort of for commercial success, you know, and totally great, but you know, the white figures were the figureheads, And so this new music was partially a political development to play something that was an art music that was really black music based and, frankly, too hard for the white guys to play.
Created by, and as you say, something that was going to distinguish those artists. Well, J.D., you started listening to Monk, I guess, when you were 14 years old. Can you tell us about your introduction to Monk?
I guess a good friend of mine's and actually one of my earliest teachers was James Carter, a great saxophonist from Detroit. We attended the same high school. The conversation came up because my music teacher talked about Outkast, and two of them were Ornette Coleman and Thelonious Monk. And, you know, I said, well, I want to check out Monk. And he said, well, you know, check this out first because, you know, it's kind of out there. And of course, 14 years old, I said, well, because he told me to check something else out, I'm going to check out Monk first.
Good for you.
But it wasn't out to me, man. It was like, It was not childlike. It was accessible because it was funky. You know what I mean? It was like dance. There was humor. There was a dance quality to it. And I immediately dug it because at the time, I thought he was playing wrong notes, and I certainly could relate to that.
Well, tell us more about that, because that might be the outcast quality that your teacher may have been talking about, the kind of out there. You now as a jazz musician who has really accomplished, and then again at 14 who's listening to music and trying to figure out where your place is. Mm-hmm. What was it about his music that did sound a little peculiar to you? Did anything sound to you like, well, wait a minute, that's not normal?
At this age, and I'm not that I'm like an art guy to go to the museum and say, hey, that's a Van Gogh, you know. Yeah. If I could put it with anything, I would think cubism.
Yeah.
You know, the head is here, the arm is there.
But it struck you as accessible. See, this is what's interesting to
me. I'm just an out dude. Maybe that's it.
That your teacher had you wrong.
Yeah, you're out, JD.
Well, Chris, what about you? I mean, you used to teach music. You taught piano lessons to children. How would you characterize Monk, and would you start him on Monk if they were?
Yeah, I had a student come, a mother come to me with her 4-year-old and say, you know, I want my son to play piano, and but I don't want him to learn how to read music. So that was a challenge for me.
Wow, don't want him to learn to read music.
Yeah, and it was interesting to try to figure that out, and I, you know, I ended up teaching him a bunch of monk tunes, and it was just a great way to get him improvising. You know, it's so melody driven and rhythmically driven, and you know, the student picked it up right away.
Wow.
and it's funny because he, you know, went on to other things, and I got an email a couple of weeks ago, and he's back, and he loves Monk, and
wow.
He's writing tunes.
But he was,
you know,
he's
like
writing
Monk.
Music like Monk,
yeah,
and he was four
yeah.
at the time.
He was four,
well,
yeah.
Let's, so we've been talking all about Monk. Why don't we take a listen to Green Chimneys, at least a little portion of it, to get an earful of what we're talking about. There's a little clip of jazz pianist Thelonious Monk, who would have been 100 this year. That's a song called Green Chimneys, and I am here with three artists participating in a 10-day-long festival celebrating what would have been Art Monk's 100th birthday. Saxophonist J.D. Allen, pianist and composer Chris Davis, and pianist and music critic Ethan Iverson. So let's stick with you, Chris, for a minute. When you listen to a song like that, and again, to my ear, and this is, I've always loved Monk, but again, I'm not a jazz expert. The notes don't sound like there are those, you know, sort of playing in the cracks and hearing a note that I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that? What's going on there? Is it somebody who does know how to play piano and gets it and teaches Monk?
Yeah, I think that approach is, you know, we can't bend notes at the piano, so... that was his way of trying to bend the note, you know, where we hear that half step and it
yeah.
disappears. So it's, you know, it feels like it's bent in some way.
He is playing with audio, and I guess the audio processing part of our brain, which I think was, for me, as a guy who does know a lot about audio, that's the genius for me. He said, wait a minute, oh, there's music. I get that. Mm-hmm. But then there's how we listen.
Yeah.
And that seems to me the part that he was a real, for me, where the innovation comes. As a saxophonist, J.D., what do you take from him? Is he somebody you just appreciate, or can you apply his techniques or his style to your music?
Oh, wow. The lyricism, definitely. The construction of the melody, the architect of that. And then, you know, simply, you know, like, to not to get off that subject, but to get back to the playing in the cracks, the
yeah.
dissonance. I mean, we enjoy that every day. That's what birds do, right? That's something we dig every day. We wake up in the morning, we hear the birds sing, like, okay, I'm alive. So Monk had, in my opinion, he had that in his music. I mean, he was able to make the piano have vibrato. That's what it does for me when I hear it, the dissonance like that.
Ethan, what were the critics making early on of this music in general and, you know, Monk in particular?
Well, I think Monk is someone very easy to talk about, actually, as compared to your standard great horn improviser, that can be pretty esoteric, you know.
Right.
But Monk has all these things that a 14-year-old can understand, that there's a world here, there's a surreal world that we want to explore, you know. A child gets it. It's also incredibly advanced, you know. It's both at once. And I'm sure there's been more critical ink spilled about Thelonious Monk than any other jazz musician at some way, because there's so much to talk about at all times. And I think he is one of the few musicians, like a jazz great, that does get an emotional reaction from any listener. You don't need to know anything about jazz, but if you put on a classic Monk record, you're going to dig it.
Mm. Is there anything about the piano in general, when you think about the instruments that we associate with jazz, and particularly if you think about the horns, that we really associate with those solos that kind of stand out and have stamped the music? Is there anything about playing the piano that gives him either a leg up or maybe is somewhat of a disadvantage in propelling the music forward and changing the music? Okay.
Well, the piano is melody and harmony and rhythm. Now, all instruments really have all three things, you know, but the piano might have the most power in all dimensions, you
That's
know.
True.
And the way Monk improvised, he always improvised off the melody as well. The melody keeps going and going. So, first of all, it's an incredibly memorable tune, and then he keeps playing the melody in his solos. And in his mature years, he'd have a brilliant esoteric improviser like Sonny Rollins or Johnny Griffin or John Coltrane or finally Charlie Rouse and Paul Jeffrey playing saxophone, playing more traditional jazz, a lot of notes, an unwinding scroll, hard to follow in a way. But his own comping and solos would just keep that melody going, and you know, you can't miss the message.
Chris, we're going to play a clip from a song that you are playing. I want to play a little bit of this clip. Let's listen. That's Aranel. That's actually written by Monk. That's not a song that you've written, but it's a song that you play. And I'm talking to Chris Davis now, the pianist, who's one of three guests today on the State of Things, helping us to celebrate and Duke Performances as well, the 100th birthday of Thelonious Monk. Tell us about Aranel. That because you know Ethan was talking about the melody. There is one in which I'm not going to maybe walk away singing the melody to that one, but it's a powerful song. So tell us.
I think on that track. One of the approaches I have to playing, you know, a sort of standard tune like Aranel is to improvise into it and slowly reveal, you know, the melody and parts of the harmony. So we didn't really hear that part of it. It really sounds like me improvising and with the great Billy Drummond who's playing. The duo track there, so
great record.
We'll talk about this too, improvisation, because you've got you have a figure like Thelonious Monk, who's a monumental figure in jazz, known for improvisation. So JD, what do you do with his music? Do you feel comfortable taking it in any direction do you want, or do you have to stay faithful to the canon?
For me, I use actually Thelonious Monk's recording of Duke Ellington's music. And I say that because listening to him play Duke's music and him sounding like Monk is kind of like my dog star. So with in that spirit, playing Thelonious Monk, I'm trying to be, you know, true to the spirit of playing your own beat.
What is it sound? What is it about Monk playing Duke Ellington that grabs you?
He sounded like Monk, you know. You still heard, you know, right. His reverence for Duke Ellington, but he sounded like Monk, and I thought that was super hip. So I think playing his music, I should try to sound like JD, and that encompasses a lot of people. You dig? So yeah. It's like, you know,
right,
the spirit of it, you know.
I happen to have submitted an MP3 from that record, so that might be the relevant time to play It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing by Monk, Oscar Pettiford, and Kenny Clark.
It Don't Mean a Thing, Oscar Pettiford and Kenny Clark. Today we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of Thelonious Monk on The State of Things. My guests are three people who are going to be helping to celebrate at Duke Performances this 100th birthday. The program is called Monk at 100, and I'm joined by pianist Chris Davis, also pianist and music critic Ethan Iverson, and J.D. Allen, who's a saxophonist and also with us today. So, Ethan, what is it about that particular song that you think is so emblematic?
It's exactly what J.D. said, which is that you hear Ellington and you hear Monk. And I actually think the jazz greats, the 20th century jazz greats, were sort of a family that talked to each other. Mm. They sort of dreamed, you know, they drew from the same well, and there's a certain kind of community and family I get from their recordings, you know, and this is classic record. Monk plays Ellington, has it all.
Hmm. What about, what is the genealogy? Is Monk still with us today, and where is he heard in the music that is being performed today, JD?
Oh, well, I'm sitting right next to some two people.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to look far, you know, yeah, we all playing the same 12 tones. That's the beauty of it. It's just how we juggle it, I guess, you know. But they're juggling it. I mean, Chris, wow.
Chris, what do you think? I mean, is it still, and certainly we're playing his tunes. There's no doubt about it, but his influence still being heard in the...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's still so many tribute albums from so many artists. Mm-hmm. You know, Alexander von Schlippenbach did a tribute a couple of years ago, playing all the Monk compositions, and... You know, he's a German pianist and sort of more in the free jazz realm of things. But yeah, there's just, it's everywhere. I mean, people, all musicians seem to include a Monk tune, you know, on their projects. And, you know, I think there's just something about, I mean, I'm diverging here a little bit, but... For me, like, Monk is, he's so melodic, and that's such a big part of his music. And, you know, he always encouraged his bandmates to, you know, play the melody and stick to the melody and reference it. And that was the springboard and the driving force behind the improvisation. And so for me, that, you know, that's just a big part of the way that I'm interested in improvising. And he's had a huge influence on my improvisation.
Ethan, you've said a lot of ink has been spilled on Thelonious Monk, and much has been said. What do you think we have not studied enough, and then not enough has been written about, not enough attention has been paid?
Earlier, when we listened to Green Chimneys, what is happening, in my view, I don't know what Monk would say about it, but, you know, in my view, he's playing, you know, an Afro-Cuban clave sentence, which we also might know as the second line, the parade beat in New Orleans. And, you know, I think the rhythmic roots of Monk, while understood by great jazz musicians, can be overlooked by people that just want to know about the avant-garde. Mm. You know, and actually part of my discussions with Aaron Greenwald for the Monk at 100 celebration in Durham was, let's not be conceptual about this. Let's just get great jazz musicians who know how to swing and play the tunes, with a notable exception to have the gospel group, the Coma Mamas, on Sunday. You know, but that's, in terms of the ink being spilled on Monk, there's an awful lot about his abstraction and how out he was and a gateway to the avant-garde. And all that's true. But I just think we want to remember also that it's an Afro-Cuban clave sentence. Hmm.
And you have succeeded wildly in bringing together those great musicians who have the chops and can play great music. A couple of them, three of them are here with me today. J.D. Allen, a saxophonist participating at Monk at 100, pianist and composer Chris Davis, also with us, and pianist and music critic Ethan Iverson. Thank you all so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All three of my guests participating in an ongoing 10-day festival celebrating the 100th anniversary of Thelonious Monk. Monk at 100, put on by Duke Performances, going to be taking place at Durham Fruit and Produce Company space in downtown Durham. And you can find out all the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, from jazz to the folksy blues of the Misty Mayhem Trio. Stay tuned.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, leave behind who I am.